PTSD and suicide and all those are spiritual fights. If the VA could fix it with medication and counseling, they would have. And I believe that Jesus and faith are the number one thing we need to do.
Welcome to the Tango Tango podcast. Real, raw, and unfiltered conversations with veterans and those who support them. Tune in, be inspired, and walk away stronger.
Welcome to the Tango Tango podcast. I'm your host, Lloyd Knight, and really looking forward to today's episode. And it is brought to us with our friends at Supply Chain Now. Thank you, Amanda and Scott and team, for allowing us to do this. Got a really great friend and a special guest today, my buddy, Steve Prince. Welcome, Steve.
I'm excited. I haven't done a whole lot of these and honored to be able to participate.
Steve and I have known each other for a couple years. Steve comes to us from the great and cold state of Michigan.
We're on the west side. It's Detroit over here. Building a house, we'll be in it in about a month, and we're on 20 acres with it started out as a pond, and my wife's trying to make it into a lake. She keeps telling the excavator to make it bigger, and it's definitely big enough to paddleboard on, but nothing more than that.
And Steve, if I recall, you like to hunt, you like to fish?
I like to hunt a lot. I got into bow hunting the first time I got out of the Army in 92, came home and all my buddies were shooting bows, and I got hooked on bow hunting, and I like to fish with people who know how to fish. So I never go by myself. I go with people who they're like, here's this, do that, and then I catch fish. But I don't know if I've ever caught a fish by myself, but I did shoot 5 deer last year.
Wow.
So that's got to make up for the lack of fish.
Yeah, Steve's promised to give me some shooting lessons when he comes down to Georgia next time, because I've never been a great shot, but I enjoy doing it. I got this crazy right eye, left eye dominance thing that is really weird. That,
oh, yeah.
But sometimes I think I'm going to be better off if I throw my pistol at somebody in exaggeration.
Well, there's something to be said about shooting instinctively. Point and shoot actually sometimes is more natural, more effective. So we'll try it all. We'll get you.
Steve is a U.S. Army veteran. Yeah. So Steve, yeah, let's just walk it back. You know, I know your journey, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But there's a lot of good. But why did you join the Army?
So the initial kind of presenting symptom was I was a terrible student, and I figured if I went to college, I would suck at that. So I was looking for some discipline and college money. And my father served in the Air Force, committed suicide when I was 5. So that ended up shaping my life in many ways. But growing up without a dad, you kind of look at yourself and go, have I figured out this manhood thing yet? And looking at the military, looking at even playing football in high school, like I didn't necessarily play because I love the game. I wanted to be a part of something important. And in high school, everybody looked up to the football team. What they did was important. And then I saw the military as an avenue to be a part of something important and gain the discipline that I needed and give me some college money.
Our stories are a little similar. You know, my dad was in the Army and I joined the Air Force. And then I was a terrible high school student as well. I probably wouldn't have graduated when I did if it wasn't for my late wife who really helped me out. When we met and then I joined the Air Force and found discipline. You know, I was an enlisted aviator and had to learn discipline and had to learn how to study. And my mom, who's going to be watching this because she always does, she's still one of my biggest cheerleaders, was always amazed I went and got college degrees and how well I did afterwards. So so you joined the Army. So what'd you do in the Army?
I ended up being a Stinger gunner, a shoulder-fired surface-to-air missile, and that was kind of by default because I wanted the Army College Fund. They only had a couple of jobs open, so I think it was infantry, cook, parachute rigger, or Stinger. And I'm like, okay, the Stinger thing sounds fun. So went straight to graduated in May, left for basic training in June. I think we were at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, July and August, and then halfway through basic training, marching past the Tichel, we'd walk past the newspaper boxes, and we saw the headline that said, Iraq invades Kuwait. And we're like, where's that? And I actually grabbed a prop. I said this at a when I spoke to a men's group, and war is how Americans learn geography. So I didn't know where Iraq and Kuwait were when I was in basic training. And then all of a sudden, our drill sergeants were talking about going to war, and we weren't sure they were being honest with us. You know, there's so many head games in basic training. We thought it all might have been a PSYOPs routine. But when I was in advanced training at Fort Bliss shortly thereafter, we had to one morning go down and the whole post was deploying and wave flags while they did a post run. And that happened to be my unit that was leaving. So in the air defense community, you had the Patriots, which got really famous during Desert Shield, Desert Storm. And then the SHORAD is if you can see it, you can shoot it short range. So I did that, came back from my first war. I was still 18. And that was the beginning of a 25-year journey. I got out initially because my experience was hard and didn't want to make a career of it. And then I stayed in the Guard and Reserve all through college. I was at Michigan State as a student and saw these kids running around in uniform pretending to be in the Army. And so I walked over there and joined ROTC. And I was a terrible cadet because I had a combat patch and I was older than the leadership, the cadet leadership. So that didn't go well, but finished that up. Met my wife in those college years. We got married spring break of 97 and then got commissioned that May. Went back active duty for 3 years at Fort Carson's where both my kids were born. They're both engaged as of last weekend. So that was, let's see, they were born in 98, 99. So I was, man, almost over 25 years ago. I feel like an old man. So then, yeah, got out again to do ministry. Kind of had a call in my heart to, I was volunteering with Young Life at the time. And as a young dad, didn't want to get shipped off to war. Nothing was really going on yet, except Bosnia. So we're looking at going to Bosnia. And I had done my three-year commitment at that point. So came back home and stayed in the Guard and Reserve. Did all kinds of things in the Guard and Reserve. Did another deployment 2008-2009 with the Michigan Army National Guard. That's a whole other story. That one didn't go well. And came home and taught ROTC for the last 5 years and then got out in 2015.
I'm 3 years older than you. I was flying C-141 Starlifters, and I think Desert Storm happened in the year three in the Air Force.
I remember the day I first said 10 years ago when I was 22. Yeah. That was 30 years ago.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about, before we get to Warrior Set Free, I want to just keep it raw here because I know the story.
Yeah.
I want to have our viewers kind of understand how you ended up getting to the point you're at. You said it didn't go well. So I think that was some part of your struggles. Can you add a little bit more color behind that?
There's so many dynamics. Part of what happened in that deployment is I was a combat arms active duty officer. I came from a very aggressive unit with high standards, and that's how I learned how to soldier and what right looked like. And then I deployed with a National Guard transportation company, and I expected them to act and behave like soldiers. I said and did some things that they figured out they could complain about. And I had a coup against me. So 32 IG complaints. I was a company commander. I get called in front of the brigade commander. And I don't know why I'm there. I knew there was turmoil in my unit. And so he sits me down. He says, how's your company? And I'm like, well, you know, we got some issues, but everything's going well. And he says, well, what about these 32 IG complaints? And I'm like, for what? And so I got suspended. I got sent up to Baghdad, Task Force 134 headquarters, which is the detainee ops headquarters, which was a super cool place to be, all Saddam's buildings and tons of history. And I got up there and I took like a, was told I'd be gone, I think a week or two. So I brought like a ruck and a couple weeks worth of clothes. And I got there and they said, "Where's all your stuff?" And I said, "I'm going back in 2 weeks." And they're like, "You're never going back to your company." And I'm like, "Excuse me?" So kind of a lack of due process on that. Of the 32 IG complaints, they found 1.5 that were valid, that things I had done wrong. And I got relieved based on that. And I know a couple people in that unit that I've talked to, but have never actually spoken public about it. I'm curious to hear, it's been so long. It was extremely frustrating. Like, I had never had an Article 15. I'd never been in trouble. And then, you know, all of a sudden, who you are and identity is one of our four keys to victory in our ministry. And my identity at that point was as a failed company commander. And you look at yourself and you go, "Well, if I suck at this, what else do I have left?" And one of the things that I had been taught prior to that day, thankfully, when I was 30, a guy who's now my boss had put his arm around me when I was going through a really hard time in my marriage. I was basically failing at ministry. And he asked me about my dad. And I said, "Well, my dad committed suicide when I was 5. But my ministry sucks, my marriage sucks, my finances suck. Why are you asking me about my dad?" And he said, "I think you need to forgive your dad." And I'm like, "Dude, he's been dead 25 years. And let me tell you why I won't forgive him. Number one, he doesn't deserve it. Number two, it won't improve our relationship. Number three, I don't know how to do what you're asking me to do." So he grabbed my Bible and opened to Matthew 18 and had me read the parable of the unmerciful servant. It's a guy who's been forgiving everything. And then he goes and he chokes a friend who owes him like a month's wages. And the king who had forgiven him everything draws him back in and said, "I forgave you a lifetime worth of debt and you can't forgive someone else. Now you're going to be tormented." And I had heard that story before. And I'm like, "Well, tormented sounds like hell." He goes, "No, it's not hell. It's like, you'll be tormented here." There's another verse that says, "Don't let the sun go down on your anger or the devil gets a foothold in your life." Well, what would happen if the enemy got a foothold in your perimeter when you're tactical? Like, they have full rights to you if they have access. And I didn't know that rule. I had been violating that rule and going to bed on my anger for 25 years. So when I was 30, I was led in forgiving my father. And the simple words of, "Lord, I choose to forgive my dad for committing suicide, abandoning me and my mom and my sister," had made me feel unwanted, unvaluable, made me feel, you know, neglected. Those words took me about 25 minutes to get out. Just like, you've cried hard, but like, to hyperventilate, there was like fluids coming out of every hole in my face. Like, just, it was one of the most hard, challenging things I've ever done. But I fought through it, and Dean led me through it. He guided me through it. You know, when it was all done and I caught my breath, I'm like, "What was that?" And he said, "That's all the pain that's been built up over 25 years. And you finally submitted that to God, were obedient to what he asked you to do or commanded you to do." He doesn't ask, he commands. "And now he'll begin to heal your heart." And so prior to that day, I couldn't say the words, "My dad committed suicide," without tears or emotion, or I just wouldn't talk about it. So since then, I share it all the time because of how powerful it was. I want other people to have that experience as well. So I had learned that at age 30. So now I'm 36, deployed to Baghdad, Iraq. And I would always go to the chapel services. And I don't know if they called it the gospel service or the Baptist service, gospel Baptist service, but on Sundays, right before lunch, I just called it Black Church because I was one of the few white guys in there. Way, way fun, amazing music, culture I'm not used to, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. they kind of adopted me in, and they're like, what's this tall white guy doing here? But and the other interesting point, the interesting memory on that is, you know, a lot of churches will say, greet somebody around you and shake hands, right? There they would say, give somebody a hug. And that was the one week when you're deployed that you actually get some physical connection, a hug from another human. I didn't do anything tactical. It's not like I was, you know, carrying guys out of combat then. You never touched another human being. That's something that I look forward to, that hug every week. But so I go to that service. It was December of 08. I hadn't even been there a week yet. And the music was amazing. And then the preacher starts preaching with power. And he brings up the topic of the day is forgiveness. And I'm like, no, I'm not ready. I don't want to. And I knew, and the Holy Spirit speaking to me, you know, a good friend of ours, Eric Bruce, says, you know, one of his favorite names for God, and I'm sure he didn't come up with it, is something. You know, something told me. I know it was the Holy Spirit saying, okay, you know how to forgive. You just got wronged bad, and you need to forgive. So I went forward and prayed with somebody and forgave everybody who betrayed me and lied about me and really set me up for failure and dealt with it right away. That was kind of the kicker of my whole career, is I was at a point where, you know, I could have gone and done whatever I wanted to do. I wasn't ever an overachiever. I just kept hanging out, kept taking positions. That was my second company command. I didn't need to take it. So you come home with being relieved from command. I got a Gomer, a general officer memorandum of reprimand. I got my whole file. When I opened it, was all red blotches, like there had been a murder scene in my IPERMS file. So that really damaged my career and eventually led to me getting out about, well, in 2015. So what, 6 years later from that.
So what did life look like after you got out?
I wish we could find a better word, but we're using the word transition, right? The transition process. The good thing about being in the Guard or Reserves is you're already home. And so you can, if, you know, depending on the op tempo of your career while you're in, you can hold down a regular job. So my job when I got home from the deployment was I was an ROTC instructor as a contractor with ROTC, and I was also in a reserve unit that taught ROTC. So part of learning what I learned about forgiveness with Dean, he has a Bible study that I would go to on Tuesday mornings. And the difference between sitting in church and sitting in that Bible study is I could ask questions. We would read something and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't get it. And they would teach me. We use the word disciple me. They taught me a lot. So I was at that Bible study every week. And then it was the spring of 2014, we got a notification to our contract that the contract would be expiring in October of that year. So I go to that Bible study and say, look, I'm going to need a job in October. A couple guys at the table are like, I'll hire you. And I'm like, cool, what do you do? I didn't even know what kind of business they were in. And then Dean asked me to go to lunch over a burrito, which burritos have played an amazingly powerful part of my life. We sit down for lunch, and he says, we want to start a Set Free Ministries, wants to start. They kept calling it their Wounded Warrior Project. And I'm like, I think that name's taken. We'll have to come up with something else. And Dean goes, I think you'd have a great ability to reach out to all these veterans that we're seeing coming through the door who need a veteran to really minister to them. And I said, well, let me tell you why this won't work. I already failed at ministry. I failed as a company commander. I don't speak Christianese. I have no Christian education whatsoever. I've never been to a Christian school as a student. I'm like, I'm not your guy. And he says, I think that's exactly why you are our guy. They wanted a veteran first to be able to connect veteran first. And so I've obviously learned a ton over the last 10 and a half years. But that's how it played out. And so I came on staff October of 2014, and he said, all right, go get him. I'm like, oh, how do I do that? And that's been a long journey as well. And initially Warrior Set Free was was Steve with a sticker and an email address, and it's turned into something that's pretty amazing to see what God's done, affected your life, affected probably hundreds of veterans' lives. We did freedom appointments with 134 veterans.
That's awesome. Let's talk a couple. Let's talk about freedom appointments, and then let's talk about retreats. I always laugh whenever we say retreat, because retreat makes it sound like it's going to be easy and you're going to go out and have fun. And
that wasn't your experience
at all. But it was better than any other retreat I've ever been to. So let's talk about Warrior Set Free. What is your specific mission?
We guide military veterans and first responders in building their faith, healing from the past, and winning life's battles. So there's, you know what, I think I've heard over 5,000 veteran organizations out there, nonprofits.
It's 50,000. They're 100% dedicated to veterans. And there's over 100,000 that have veterans in their mission. And I give a speech, I call that the good, the bad, and the ugly, because there's certainly great organizations out there like Warrior Set Free, providing the right services to the right people at the right time for the right reasons, getting the right results. And then there's bad out there, that organizations that aren't overly effective, or they're too focused on fundraising. And then there's the ugly, the fraudsters, scammers, and schemers out there. So I run an organization called Vetlanta here in Atlanta. And our job is to advertise the good, to try to help the bad and isolate the heck out of the shysters on the ugly portion. And I'm really proud that Warrior Set Free, that we have a relationship, and which we'll get into. But let's go back into, so you've got this great mission, a wonderful organization, small niche, well-funded, but not like overly well-funded. You started growing in Michigan, and then you've expanded to Georgia. So how do you operate your mission? So you have, what was the term you mentioned when you meet with people? The freedom appointments. Take us through what freedom appointment is.
The freedom appointment at its core is a process called the Steps to Freedom in Christ. It's open source. You can Google it. You can read through it on your own. It's written by Dr. Neil Anderson. Neil is 80 plus. He lives in Franklin, Tennessee. He was in the Navy. He was a rocket scientist on the Apollo projects. And then he got into ministry. So there's left brain, right brain, right? The left brain is the scientific engineer side. He says he's so left brain that his head tilts to the left when he walks. So he basically took an engineer's mindset to scripture and said, what are the things that it's telling us to do that we're not doing? As a math guy, I loved math in high school. It was the one thing I was good at, is I want to learn one thing. Like, learn how to add, learn how to divide, and you can use it over and over again. It's a tool. I hated classes where you, like, learn the definition of one word, and all you know is the definition of one word. That wasn't my strong suit. So what Neil found in Scripture is, and it goes back to, he was working with seminary students, guys who were getting ready to go out and be pastors, and he figured out they knew the book, they weren't doing what it said. So the freedom appointment, the Steps to Freedom in Christ, is seven steps, seven topics. And what we do is we guide you through those topics. Set Free USA does that for civilians, does it for the whole country. And then we have a global director that does this in Uganda and India and other parts of the world. So with Warriors, you've met this guy who's a veteran, and he's like, you know, nobody gets me unless you've done what I've done or you've been where I've been. So I call it the hard candy shell. And one of the first guys we worked with, it was like my first week, he was circling the drain, you know, no hope. And I took Dean with me because I didn't even know what to tell this guy. And the three of us met at an Arby's in Coopersville, Michigan, and got talking to this guy. And I said, when were you and where were you? He was in the same place I was in Iraq at a different time. And he looks at me and he says, you and I have chewed on some of the same dirt. Boom. I got him. I got his trust. He knows who I am. I know who he is. And I said, now listen to this guy. Trust him. And so with a Warrior Freedom appointment, we established like even we'll match branches. You get an Air Force guy, we'll try and put you with an Air Force guy. You have a lingo, you have a lifestyle, a common understanding that helps break that candy shell. But so the steps, the first thing we do is we present the gospel, which is fascinating because I know a lot of people have been in church their whole life. And there's a question, we do a questionnaire. If anybody wants to do this, I'll walk you right through it. So you go to our webpage, warriorsetfree.org. Right at the top, it says freedom appointment. Click on that, fill out the form. But there's a question in there that's a very telling. And it says, if you were to die tonight and stand before God, and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Well, the gospel says that Jesus paid for my sin. Therefore, I'm holy. All my sin is wiped away. No sin can enter God's presence, but I am sinless in God's sight because everything's been paid for. So I have permission to enter God's presence. Then, you know, there's a lot of ways to describe that. A lot of people that go to church, they prayed the prayer once. They don't really understand what it means to be saved, to be born again, to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. So we actually present the gospel, admit your sinner, believe Jesus died to pay for your sin, and confess and commit your life to following Christ. And we get to pray that prayer with a lot of people where they understand it, maybe for the first time. So when we presented this to a chaplain, Colonel Blair Davis was the chaplain for the state of Georgia National Guard. He was shocked that we present the gospel. He's like, wow, you guys are actually like biblical and gospel forward, like absolutely. And so that starts the appointment. The rest of the day is a confess, repent, forgive process. And I describe it like this. Everybody is like, God's up here and we're down here is kind of how we think about him, right? Well, sin separates us from God. So if we're forgiven, like there's no legal penalty anymore, but we haven't dealt with our own sin. He's forgiven us. We're clear and free. Just like I use the example, if my bank called me and said, we forgave your mortgage. Perfect. It's done. It's over. Like he's forgiven it. The problem is we haven't confessed it and repented of it to process it ourselves and to turn away from it. So the confession and repentance kind of removes all the barriers between us and God. He already knows. I love there's scripture where Jesus goes, I can see you're thinking this. Like we think we're hiding stuff from God. Like he knows your thoughts. So that really clears up this relationship. And when people leave, they're like, I just feel like lighter. We never tell them to say that, and almost all of them do. So if I'm good between me and God, I still got all these morons running around this earth that I have to deal with, right? Like we bump into people, we hurt people left and right all the time. That's the forgiveness process. According to scripture, it's not recommended that you forgive. You're commanded to forgive before the sun goes down every day. So we joke a lot at Set Free. If someone like says something mean to me or rude or picks on me, I'll say, well, I have till sunset to forgive you, but I ain't forgiving you until then. So that process is a tool. We have a podcast here called Rules and Tools. It's a tool. It's a rule that God wrote that almost nobody does. I'm living proof of that. I was in church most Sundays between 5 and 30, minus some college years. I sat there, I went to Sunday school, they had the same Bible sitting within arm's reach of me, and no one ever led me to forgive my dad. Until, imagine if that would have been a part of my experience at 6 or 7, I could have avoided years of really spiritual torment. So that freedom appointment cleans house. Depending on who I'm talking to, I'll say, oh, it's a nice spiritual house cleaning. But some people need a pressure washing. They need to walk through the house with a pressure washer and clean out everything.
Yeah, fascinating analogy.
So that's the freedom appointment. You think about a normal church experience, and whoever's listening, I'm sure your church is so much better than the average church. But in my church and most churches, you go in, you sit down, you listen, and you leave. You talk to people you like. You avoid the people you don't. You sing some great songs, but you don't have to really do what the pastor's telling you to do. You just sit there and nod, maybe say amen, right? But when you sit in a freedom appointment, you'll sit with two people, men with men, women with women, warriors with warriors. Well, I'll give you a good example, and we don't tell people stories. This guy would probably give me permission, and I won't use his name, but he was deployed, and we have him tell their story too. He was deployed, and his unit, in his opinion, really got screwed over hard by Army Rangers. Like, in his mind, the Army Rangers, their lack of support for his unit caused some of his buddies to die. That's how serious it was. So he hated the Rangers to the point where he wanted to go to Ranger school, get the tab when they handed it to him, wipe his butt with it and hand it back and tell him to F off and he was going to leave. That's how angry he was. And that's what he told us in his story. And I'm like, oh, angry much, right? And so we come to the forgiveness part and everybody has to forgive their dad, the further father wound. You know, my mom was amazing, but she wasn't perfect. So you forgive all these people that you remember. And then he's like, okay, I think my list is done. And we're like, how about you forgive the Rangers, right? Like, you need to put them on your list. And he's like, oh, I didn't think about that. But it says, don't let the sun go down in your anger. And he was continuing to harbor that. So that is a tool that once you know it, if you're a believer and a follower of Christ, you shouldn't really be angry at anyone. And people still hurt each other. People still deserve justice for what they've done. But it's really trusting God to that justice, just like we trust the justice system.
Great. So freedom appointment on one side and on the second.
Yeah. So there's kind of three approaches. You've experienced two, I think. There's an event in Michigan called the Heroes Return that we helped start in 2018. Actually, I went on the first one as a participant in Texas, and that's grown dramatically here in Michigan. It has roots in Texas, and they do them in Big Rapids, Michigan here. It costs, I think, about $600 for a civilian to go to, and it's subsidized for veterans. So if anybody wants to come to Michigan, I recommend coming in the summer, but we only charge $50 for that. So we worked with them on that for a long time. In order for us to do that in other places, we rewrote it. And I've got props today, Floyd. We call it the Warriors Badge.
I want one.
And our tagline is, you are worth fighting for. So the Warriors Battle is like the Hero's Return that you experienced, but different. I'm starting to call them our four keys to victory. So everybody's on their own faith journey. So our acronym, because you got to have an acronym if you're a military ministry, is the word TRIP. Truth, Relationships, Identity, and Purpose. So our event is 72 hours, Wednesday night through Saturday afternoon. We hold them in Georgia. They're called the Warriors Battle. They're right on our webpage. And Wednesday night, we start talking truth. And what is truth? Well, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Satan is the father of lies. It's his native tongue. So we help guys start to understand, what if you've been lied to about who God really is? This is the true character of God. Exodus 34, verse 6. He's kind, he's patient, he's forgiving. And we start to say, okay, this is, if you know something different than this, then this is truth, and what you understand is not truth. So we break it down, and then you have your own truth of your own experience. Just like I've shared my story, I believe that every veteran's life could be a movie. You know, some guys write books. I don't even like to read books that much, although I finished yours. I want you to know. I did finish
yours. I appreciate it.
We have this movie where we've lived out, right? And we have to be able to share that to let people into it. So we have them tell their story. That's Wednesday night. On Thursday, we get it deep into relationships, and that includes a gospel presentation, identity on Friday, and purpose on Saturday. So it's got two of the freedom appointment steps in it, the forgiveness and a confession repentance. But here's the thing that's super cool about those, and you experienced a similar version. Maybe you should come back and do the actual wagon with us.
I don't think so.
In May or November. You'd love it. here's the cool thing about that is you sit in a group, a small group of, we call them squads, four, five, six guys. And the squad leader, the staff starts out saying, you know, I got introduced to pornography when I was 10. I was sexually molested when I was 12. I started stealing my dad's cigarettes, drinking when I was 15, whatever it is. And they're just raw and vulnerable. And like, these are all my things. And so you can watch the warriors going through it. The light kind of comes on and they're like, well, if he can say that, then I can say my stuff, because my stuff's similar or different. And we just kind of set the table. I don't like the term safe space, but it's a secure area to be able to share your story. And then we, again, build faith, heal from the past, win life's battles. We walk them through the forgiveness process. And they do it together, to where I would say someone who's been through our Warriors battle with a battle buddy will know him. Well, we know this for certain with Roger Hill's Dog Company guys. They deployed together. They went to combat together. They bled together and cried together. But they come through a Warriors battle, and they know each other in a much deeper way than they did.
I was in that. That was the event I loved. So Steve shows up in Georgia. and he got a great story. He goes to a used bookstore and finds Roger Hill's book and contacts him. And then through that, he ends up coming to a Atlanta event. And I was all in pretty quickly that I thought they were doing great things. I was all in to help him out and use my network. And then, yeah, Steve started really giving me the hardcore press to come in. And honestly, I didn't think I needed it. I was going through the loss of my first wife, but I'm like, no, I'm good. Mm-hmm. And every time I would see him, you know, he would say, we really got to have you there. And then one time I made a mistake in going, hey, I'm going to pray on it. I'll never forget Steve's words. And like, do you think God would want you to pray to be closer to him, or just do it? Like, right. And like, you know, he would tag team me with Roger. I didn't realize it at the time that I was being tag time, tag team, but I was, and I'm so glad I did it. So the, first I went, I think there was maybe 12, 16 people, everybody going through their own stuff for certain, the bonds I made, not with everybody, but the bonds I made, the actual program was phenomenal. The food was actually really good as well. Some amazing volunteers.
Absolutely.
And then forming relationships with Steve, with Eric Bruin, who's now their Georgia guy, and then Polly, absolutely love Polly. It was a game changer for me. So it gave me, I'm big about talking about leadership tools, like, right, I like to do this, or I like to do this, and add to my leadership toolbox. You gave me some life tools that helped me manage my life. It helped me manage some of the anger I had, but it helped me manage the grieving for sure. And helped me also forgive some of the, you know, times I'd been slighted in my life. So if I could give you, you know, 5 gold stars, I would give you 5 gold stars. I'm already certified. If I had $1 million, I would give you some. So nice. Definitely check them out. They're doing great things. If you need help, you know, check them out. If you want to give, check them out. They're an amazing organization in Georgia and Michigan. So what's next for the organization, Steve?
Well, and even with Georgia and Michigan, we're virtual too. So we do freedom appointments like this, no matter where the warrior is. A friend of mine from church, his son is a Marine in Okinawa, Japan. And I did his freedom appointment. I forget, I think he stayed up late and I got up early. So don't let distance, you don't have to be in Georgia or Michigan, stop you. I love what you brought up of like, hey, pray about it. I love it when people say, I'll pray about whether I should do this. I'm like, and this is probably exactly what I said. You pray about whether or not God would want you to spend 4 days chasing after it. Like, let me know what he says. Because if he tells you no, we got a connection problem, right?
Our event was up at Lake Borton. And then Roger, because I was being tag teamed, Roger was like, look, Lloyd, they're not going to take your keys away. All right. If you get up there and it's not singing and you can just leave. What they didn't tell me was they locked the camp gate.
Well, and even the other thing you said, and as service members. I love that my grandpa's generation, he was World War II era, would say, oh, you were in the service, right? At our core, we still choose to serve, and you'll serve something, right? And so for guys that are fairly healthy, their finances, their marriage, all the things are flowing nice, come experience it so that you'll gain those tools in an effort to be able to maybe know what to say when a buddy comes to you and says, you know, I don't know how to deal with this. It's putting all those tools in your toolbox. And I was just on the phone with a good friend of mine, and we talk about, we listen to speakers or sermons different now. And some people listen and they're like, oh, I know what he's talking about. Well, unless you can teach it, unless you could teach what he's teaching, you don't know it well enough. And he or she might say something that you need for somebody else. So what's next for Warriors is I need to do more of this. I need to do some social media content and spread the vision across the nation. I got a friend who's a huge visionary. And when I first fully explained to him what we do, he slammed his fist and he said, this needs to be in every city with an NFL team. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And our only barriers for that are the people. We need a network before we go somewhere, and the funding. So I'm pretty sure that if God gave me $10 billion to go make this happen, I'd have to hire a CEO that knows how to do that. I can do what I do, but I think as he builds the team, he's bringing in more and more people that would have the ability to expand this, to grow it. We've got roots growing in North Carolina. We've had the honor of connecting with some operators. I look at them like comic book heroes that have done amazing things in the military. So possibly North Carolina and Texas will be our next two places. But next short-term target is May. We have another Warriors battle coming up. I think maybe May 8th through 11 sounds about right, but it's on the webpage, and we're recruiting heavily for that. We had 25 participants at the last one. And Paulie's vision, we're going to do 100-man events maybe by November. The last crew that came through were all fired up. And one guy came, his name's Silas, and he didn't even know what he was getting into. He had done his freedom appointment. He kind of knew, but he told his friends, we're going to a veteran camp. And they showed up with like flip-flops and swim trunks. They're like, oh, well, yeah, kind of. But yeah.
That cracked me up. If you're listening to this after May, just take a look at the website. It has all the information on the events that are coming up.
And reach out directly. I don't know if it's wise, but my email is steve@warriorsetfree.org. Like, give me a shout. We'll jump on the phone.
Yeah, if you get that $10 billion, you give me a call. I'll be your CEO.
I will hire you. I know you. And you could do all the paperwork and organization charts.
Yeah,
and all
that's kind of me, isn't it?
I'll just show up and tell stories.
Keep it up. You're making a huge impact. I know you had a rough go at it, and I know it sucked. And I know how bad it got that we didn't get into it. Like, right, we've had that discussion. But I think it had to be part of God's plan. Because you had to feel the pain. You had to be there to help as many people as you're helping now. I'm proud of you. So keep it up. I'll continue to talk about you guys. I love you. I love you and Paulie and Eric, your brothers in Christ. So I'm going to continue to support it and preach the Warriors.
Can we do a pitch for Vetlanta Faith Forum?
We started Vetlanta 11 years ago. We kept it apolitical and kept religion out of it. And through my time, you know, we've definitely kept politics out of it. And then my mind was changed. I think some of the leaders of that land, our mind was changed. You know, unfortunately, I had to go through the loss of my military spouse. We were married almost 34 years. And I'm not going to say finding Christ because I never lost Christ, but refocusing on my faith. And I had so many friends that were believers that were veterans and veteran advocates that I didn't know it. And I was like, God said, hey, I need another forum to so people they can talk about their faith in person. So we spun off a different program off of Atlanta, and we call it our Faith Forums. And we're going to try to do them a couple times a year. We've been doing them at a farm in Ballground, and we're either going to do it at Semper Fi or a Bar and Grill, which is now called Rally Point, just to get people out coming out. And the great thing is we've had believers and non-believers come to this event and these events, and when we talk about Jesus, we talk about our stories. We have some great keynote speakers. One time I asked God to find me one NFL player to come speak at our Atlanta Faith Forum, and God delivered three. And we had this panel discussion with three NFL players.
And he shows off sometimes.
It's spectacular. So if you're not familiar with Atlanta, check us out, atlanta.org. So keep it up, buddy. I'm so happy that you were one of our first shows underneath the new supply chain Tango umbrella. You know, Tango is top talks. You know, me being a first sergeant, I wanted to have raw discussions, and I wanted to to talk just like first sergeants talk with their troops, and I think we got that done here today. So thank you, Steve. Any closing words of wisdom you want to give?
PTSD and suicide and all those are spiritual fights. If the VA could fix it with medication and counseling, they would have. And I believe that Jesus and faith are the number one thing we need to do. Build the faith in order to rightly thank and welcome home the warriors that are continuing to fight for us.
Absolutely, Steve. So I'm going to close this Tango podcast, and I'm going to tell you to be safe, be kind, and be remarkable.
The Tango podcast is proudly sponsored by Supply Chain Now. Join the Tango community for more inspiring stories. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. Subscribe to the Tango YouTube channel. And follow and listen to Tango wherever you get your podcasts.